Well, I'd like to think about the subject of faith tonight. So I put on the board, by faith.
Amen.
And I'd like to start in verses in Mark, the 11th chapter. In the 12th verse, it says, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the fig was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that were sold, that sold doves.
Yeah.
And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because of all the people were astonished at his doctrine.
Yes.
And when he even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree, which thou cursest, is withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God.
Yes.
So, it makes me curious about passages like this.
Yes.
What the disciples, because Jesus gave them a very definite answer, very simple, very definite answer when they was astonished at this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, had faith in God. That was the answer.
Yeah.
Have faith in God.
Right.
So what was the idea? It's so quickly that it couldn't have just been nature. It definitely was absolutely, they saw this, and the scripture made note that they saw it, so that we would know that they saw the tree with the leaves, it was green, it was flourishing, and when Jesus cursed the tree, I don't think God made trees, he don't have any odds against trees.
Right.
This was a lesson.
Yes.
This was a lesson to them about faith.
Yes.
What do you suppose was going to happen when Jesus said that? This is the whole point, I think, of this,
right,
is that they just saw and witnessed Jesus saying something.
Yep.
Jesus didn't go around like some of us do, just saying stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're in the age of misinformation, disinformation, is this right, that right,
right.
Jesus didn't go around with no misinformation or disinformation.
Right.
He didn't go around just saying things that didn't mean anything,
right,
or just something that was there for a platitude or for somebody to... No, Jesus... And the reason why he told them to have faith in God is because he had spoken something.
Yes.
And it should have been to them... meaningful. That should have been meaningful. What God has said, folks, we live our life by.
Amen.
I mean, we're to live our life by what he said.
Yes.
Not just dismiss it. And they saw that something was happening. He condensed it down and just told them, have faith in God. This isn't just something that's passing by. This is something that's very important.
Yes.
So I have a question about this. How do you measure your faith? I mean, we talk about this a lot. I mean, we all realize that without faith,
yeah,
it is impossible,
right,
to please,
yeah,
God.
Right.
For they that come to God must believe. Yeah. First believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Yeah. So what the Lord has said is meaningful.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, faith, how do you measure, do you measure your faith by the way you're feeling in the day? I feel like I got faith. How do you measure the idea of faith? Well, I want to look at that a little bit tonight in James, the second chapter. Oh, so where to pick it up here? I'll get a little bit of it. Maybe the 2:13. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not the things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, it is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, I don't think that this is talking about we just go and do good works and that's what we're supposed to be doing. No, this has the idea behind it that Jesus says something and you believe it.
Yes.
And not just believe it. We'll go on. He says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Now, I want to stop just to interject this. There's some that thought that James was referring to people that was preaching of the old law, the idea. Well, it was very unique among the Hebrews, the Jews, to believe in the one God. Most people believed in a multitude of gods. And so many people believed that James was dealing with people that believed, as long as you believed in the one true God.
Yes.
You believed that there was one true God, the living God, the great I am, then that was your salvation. That was enough. That was enough faith in it. I can't prove that. I just say some things that James did. What he wrote, he was writing it to that effect, that there were some people that did not go any farther than that, than to believe that there's one God. So he makes the argument, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? See what he's referring to here about our faith is the measure of it is what we do.
Yeah.
The measure of it is how much we allow faith to work in our life.
Right. Yes.
How much does it make a difference? Can faith in God give you stability in an unstable time?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We all probably can sit here that knows much about scriptures and start thinking about scriptures that will stabilize us. Jesus said in one place, he said, I'll be with thee to the end. Even to the end of the world, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. That's stabilizing. You know, in a time that it looks like everything's going to fall, that we can actually have faith in what God said. He said, I'm not going to leave you. It doesn't matter if you forsake me. It doesn't matter if the world forsakes me. It doesn't matter who's elected president, Senate, Congress. It doesn't matter who's on the council. It doesn't mean locally or nationally or worldwide. It doesn't matter if there's one world government or there's five. It doesn't matter what it is. He said he would never leave me or forsake me. And faith means that I can
about it. Faith in God can stabilize me. You remember when the Jesus was on the boat, right? He's out on the ship and he's asleep, right? He's in the under part and he's asleep. And there's this tempest rises, and these guys were all fishermen and around the sea, and they knew what this meant, right? They knew that this could be a bad deal out here. And so they start fretting. They start worrying. You think they didn't believe some in Jesus? They had some belief in Jesus. Yeah. They was with him. They were following him. And yet something got caught between their faith. Did they believe in the one God?
Yes.
Sure they did. Did they believe in this guy that they were with? Yeah. Enough to go out on the boat with him. But the storm challenged them, didn't it?
Yes.
So they actually even almost accuse him and say, Master, you care us not that we perish? We're about to perish here. O thou of little faith. You actually think that the ship could go down with Jesus on it. I mean, they thought that the ship, they thought that they could, they're on the ship with Jesus, and they thought that they could lose their life on the ship with Jesus. And what's he supposed to do? Wake up and say, oops, I lost them. You and I can laugh about it, but this is a reality about faith. Faith is, James said, I'll show you my faith for what I do, how I respond to things. Yeah. The things that come, I know that we're human and things can shock us in and out of this, but faith then grabs a hold and we say, who's in control?
Yeah.
Who's in control?
Yeah.
Jesus is in control. God got this thing in control all the time. And those that had that showed faith or had faith, they showed faith. Faith, but it was faith that made them move. Faith that was working with them. They had faith, and therefore it either prompted them to quietness and stillness, or it prompted them to action. It prompted them to move. It prompted them to do things that they would not otherwise do. They moved out to something. Do you know if God leads you somewhere, you can have faith to do it no matter what the situation is, because he has promised. He has made promises to us. And that's what faith really is when I can get a hold of something. Faith is believing. But I'm going to tell you, it's believing to action. It's believing to something. And therefore, we have faith. We have faith sometimes to where we can quietly, peacefully sit and see the storm pass over. And say, my God liveth. Whatever comes.
Right.
It's in the hands of the Lord.
Right.
Over in very, very familiar place of faith is 11th chapter of Hebrews. So let's read a little bit about this. I'll start at the first verse. It's all good. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And he starts off, and here's where he starts. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Wait a minute. By faith. So what? What was lacking in Cain? No faith? Amount of faith? What was lacking? It said, by faith Abel. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. So what was the idea? Okay? He brought the best he had and the fat thereof. He brought what sense, human sense, human logics would have said, this would have been a better one to keep and breed on. Keep the genetics going. This is prime right here. Everybody that breeds knows that. This is This is the good one. But faith said, I give this to God. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a real faith. Faith means that I can give up. I can give up. I can go. I can fan myself. I can do it. Because faith says, God has said. God has said, give me your best. Honor me the way I ought to be honored. And I will make up the difference to you. You remember the folks over there that the Lord had a little bit of a problem with them. And they went and they built their sealed houses and all. And the Lord comes and says, consider your ways.
Yes.
You come into the land and you didn't build my house. You built your own houses.
Yes.
And you've done all this thing that you thought in your mind was going to make you successful. We'll get to the Lord's house later. But we'll build our houses, and he said you work and put it in a bag with holes, and you plant it, and you drink, and you're always thirsty, and you eat, and you're hungry, and you never go. And why? He said you plant, and I blow on it.
Yeah.
Why? Because you don't have no faith. If you had faith, you'd have built my house first. Yeah. You would have known that if you built my house first. And he even tells us in the New Testament the same kind of idea about our clothes and all these things. And he said about the things of this life,
right.
He says, seek ye first.
Yes, right.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Amen.
And all of these things will be provided for you, that faith.
Yes.
That's the measure of our faith. How much faith do we have is not what we're feeling like when we're feeling good.
Right.
Well, I feel like I can do anything. That's not a measure of faith. A real measure of faith is what I do with the Word of God. How do I put it into my life? Abel actually had faith in the sense that he was willing to take the best that he had and sacrifice it. That thing, he kills it.
Right.
He sacrifices that to the Lord, believing that the Lord is able to bring much more blessings into his life. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, how did he do that? God was important enough to him in his life that he obviously gave up things to just please God. Please God. I want to give this up. I'm not gonna eat this extra. I'm gonna please God. I'm gonna seek God today. He pleased God. That was faith. It motivated him.
Yeah.
It motivated him. That's faith.
Yeah.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him by faith. By faith, Noah just sat around and twiddled his thumbs and believed in God. I believe in God. No, by faith, something was. God come and said something to Noah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got the word. What do you think? Jesus is going to curse that fig tree and nothing's going to happen? What do you think Jesus' words was about? There's something in that. He said something. Oh, have faith in God.
Yeah.
Have faith in God. When the word goes, it's going to mean something. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. See, it motivated him. Do you think that cost him any blisters? Do you think it cost him any time? I mean, I don't know what that economic system was. A lot of people on the earth at that time. Just because the Lord told him to build it don't mean he drove every nail or every spike. It don't mean he planked every wood. Maybe he sold his cattle for it. Maybe he bought wood that was brought in. God just said to build it. He didn't. It doesn't specify. Noah built the ark. Maybe he got some contractors in. Maybe he sold some stuff he had. I don't know what he done. I just say it's very, very possible that he could have done it that way. I mean, been a businessman about it. Built it. Going to build the boat. But what did he do? He sacrificed many, many years.
Yeah.
He faith moved him.
Yes.
Did Noah have faith?
You and I doubt that he had faith. We don't doubt it a bit that he had faith, because you know why? Because there was a boat when he got through.
Right.
That was a product of faith. Because what did he have? What did he have to do? He couldn't make it rain. He couldn't make the fountains of the deep come out. He couldn't prove anything that he was preaching or saying, could he?
No.
Not a thing.
No.
But by faith, he believed the word of God. He believed what God had told him, and he moved on that.
Yeah.
And that was considered faith, because he enacted it.
Right.
He done something with it. Folks, how do you measure your faith? I'm not talking about grand things now. I'm talking about maybe maybe a little dysfunction in the family. How's that going to be resolved? How about faith in God?
Yeah.
How about faith? There's something not with the neighbor. I don't like it. I want it straight out. How can I resolve this when he won't even talk to me? How can I resolve this when it's on this? By faith.
Yeah.
By faith. God said it'd be a very present help. I think I heard that this morning. A very present help in time. And what need you? What need you specify? I got a need here.
Right.
By faith.
Amen.
I'm going to believe, but God's working in that situation. God's going to move on that situation.
Yeah.
I got a lack and I got a need in this. I remember hearing the story. I think it was just a story, but there was supposedly a drought in an area, and been a drought for a long time. And so the little community decided that on one Saturday morning, they're all going to get together, the whole community going to get together, going to town, and they're all going to go in, and back in the old wagon days of it, I think, and they're all going to get together, and they're going to have one great big prayer meeting in the middle of town. They're all going to go have a prayer meeting, and they're going to pray for God to send some rain, because it was droughting and it was bad. And so they all got ready and went and get into this, and one family got out there, and the little boy says, "Hold it a minute," and he ran and he got the umbrella. Come with the umbrella. Got in the wagon with the umbrella. What you bringing the umbrella for?
Yeah.
What you got down? Because it's moving me.
Yeah.
It moved me to do something. We're going to go pray, and I got an umbrella.
Yeah.
It's going to rain on that. I ain't saying that us figuring the results is always faith. I'm saying faith moves us, though. It moves us to do things that we would otherwise not do. So by faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and become heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, how did he condemn the world? You know how Noah condemned the world? Because he was just a man. There was nothing supernatural. He wasn't a giant. He wasn't smarter. He wasn't more capable. He was just a man.
Right.
And when that one man had faith in God, if one man can, all men can. Nobody of that generation would ever have a right to stand before God and say mankind couldn't have faith in you at that time. Because there was one that stood up and gave it all. He gave it all and believed in God, and it was counted to him, and he condemned the world. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? By faith. By faith. Faith didn't leave him sitting there. Faith couldn't leave him sitting there. Faith said that I'm going to be better off. No matter what I'm leaving, I'm going to be better off to be in the hands of God.
Yeah.
I'm going to be better off to be pleasing to God than anything I can leave.
Amen.
I'm going to be better off. The promise of God is on me. And God has told me to go, and I'm going to go because I believe in God. I have faith in God. It moved him to do it. You understand what I'm saying? We can get timid sometimes. We feel like the Lord wants us to go do something. Maybe he wants you to go talk to the neighbor or go invite them to church or whatever they want to do. That's by faith. That's by faith that we do that. Oh, that'll never work. They'll never come, whatever that. No, that's all just excuses in there. Faith reacts to these things. God is able. Abraham left his land and sojourned in the land of promise and left everything behind, and he went and he became known as the father of faith. By faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went.
Yes.
By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Yes.
Therefore sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sands is by the seashore innumerable. See, this place could have been left unfilled by Abraham.
Right.
But by faith, whatever he was leaving, family, land, ownership of things, whatever he was leaving was going to be greater, produced by God. God was going to do more, give him more than he ever left. God was going to take his generations beyond. He wouldn't have had generations. He was going to take it. God was going to do something for him. So by faith that happened. By faith. There's a scripture that says of saying to the Israelites, look to the pit from which thou art hewn. Now that's specifically, we use that because, and it's a really good analogy, but that specifically is talking about Sarah's dead womb. That's what that's talking about. Look to the pit. You all are a miracle. You all are in the mind of God. God produced you through something. You couldn't be here in a natural sense. So look back to the miracle of your existence. God gave you a special existence because he gave Sarah the ability and give life to her womb that she could have a child.
Yeah.
And out of that child came the whole nation.
Right.
So look back to that in miracle. Look back to that place. Do you know that by faith we're to look back to the pit that which we're you as Christians? This isn't natural. We didn't come through a natural course.
Right.
We come through a divine source to be Christian. Jesus gave life.
Yes. Yeah.
We come through this. This is what he wants. We look back to our old dead sins and dead, our old deadness and all those things. We're made alive through Christ.
Amen.
That's what we're to look back to. By faith. It says, and these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. You know, there is different ones here that goes on and says after Abraham, it says by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, when a dying blessed both his sons of Joseph and worship leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph. Listen, by faith. Every one of these had an action hooked to it. Every bit of it has an action. It promoted them to do something. By faith, they did this. By faith, Moses. You think of this. By faith, Moses. What did he do? A prince of Egypt. At the time, the greatest nation on the planet. I suppose that it was most powerful. He was a prince of Egypt. I suppose he lived in royalty. Probably had all the helpers he wanted, whatever he wanted. He could probably call upon it. But by faith, it says, when he was come to years, this was by faith he did this. Faith causes us. It encourages us. It gives us power to do it. Faith.
Yeah.
Faith says that I may gain here. I may gain, but I can't gain as much as God's going to give me.
That's right.
And this is fleeting.
Yeah.
It's not going to be worth it at the end. By faith in the promises of God. By faith in the promises of God, this life is fleeting.
Yes.
If the scripture says, well, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul?
Yes.
By faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, this is by faith, this is an action. I ask you, how do you measure your faith? There is some measure of faith. You wouldn't be here. You realize that, don't you? Faith promotes you to come to service.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, there's other reasons you could come, but that's generally, there's a measure of faith.
Yeah.
Faith is what prompts you to pray.
Yeah.
It's what causes you to look to God in the middle of a trouble.
Yes.
When the storm's coming, they got the storm predicted coming. It's why people get down and ask God to help. There's a measure of faith. Because faith has actions. Faith prompts something. Does God hear and answer prayer?
Yes. Yes, he does.
What tells you that? Faith?
Yes.
Faith. Word of God. He hears and answers prayers.
Yes.
Faith in what he said. He said he adheres. Moses, choosing rather to suffer afflictions. That I'm going to tell you something, folks. Measure that out. You're on one hand, you're the prince. You got everybody to massage that old sore back of yours. You got people to get you a drink. You don't have to get up. I mean, you have it all right there. And instead of having the life of luxury and servants around you and all of that, he chose rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God. I'm going to tell you what, I've been ridiculed as for living God, the Christian life, and at times, at different times, but I'm going to tell you, that'd be something right there. You don't think somebody said to him, Moses, what kind of a fool are you?
Right.
He had faith.
Yes, right.
He believed, I'll read it, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Right.
By faith, he acted. By faith, he did something. There was a story, a brother in our congregation. I'll try to get this as close as I can. But he had a job and made pretty good money at the job, and I don't remember all the details of it, but at one point things got to a certain place and he left that job and took a job for a lot less money in the situation, and he felt like God had directed him into the move. But it's hard to lose money, right? I mean, it's hard. We don't usually go down. We want to go up.
You know? Right.
That's the way it is. So, and we do, you know, we want to do the best we can.
Yes.
But he felt like the Lord done that, and so he left the job and went to a lesser job. And in a very short time, the place he worked for was one of about five different places that around the different parts of the East, and they went on strike. And they were striking and looking for benefits and all that kind of stuff, and finally the union or whatever it was said that there, and I think there was actually six of them, and out of the six, five of them agreed to the package.
Yes.
But the local one, we're holding out. So the company said, well, we was dropping one of our businesses. We was going to drop one of them. And now we know which one. And so the company just the other five had agreed. And so they went on. And this one shut completely down.
And the brother that was, I know people was looking at him, but you sure lost a lot of money on that. Now these guys don't have nothing.
Right.
And he's working. Yes. Job. You know what that's called?
Amen.
By faith.
Yes.
That's called by faith. God knows what he's doing. And he knows how to do it. And he knows how to work in our lives. And sometimes the measure of God isn't the measure of humanity. We don't measure what God measures. We don't see what God sees.
Amen.
And so God knows what he's doing in this situation. So Moses here, do you think if Moses would have rejected to do what the Lord wanted, that we would be reading about old Moses? No. But Moses had faith enough to forsake Egypt. And it says, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So faith moved into a situation. It moved into a situation to prompt him to actions. If you want a good measure, a good gauge of your faith, it isn't the way you feel about it. It's what you do about it. It's how you respond to it. It's how you act to it. It's the calmness you can go through a storm with. It's the ability that you go through and do what God wants you to do and how you stand for the right. You know, it doesn't mean that you're not nervous. It doesn't mean that there isn't some humanity there. It means that you do what you're supposed to do by faith. All of these responded. Every one of them responded to an action.
Right.
It wasn't just saying, I have faith in doing something. There was a woman in the scriptures, if you remember, 12 years issue of blood, and she spent all of her living on physicians, and she grew the worse. Yeah. And after that, she hears the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
We hear it, we embrace it, we take it on. It's the light under our path, the lamp under our under our feet, and a light into our pathway. This is what we live our life by. The Lord said in these past, you know what the Lord says sometimes it's real hard for us humans to get? He said to humble yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, humble yourself. You know how much humility is the answer? Humble yourself and let God work it out. Well, that's hard to do. Let me get something. No, humble yourself and I'll work it out.
Yeah.
Just humble yourself. The Word of God.
Yes.
Because the word came. And the woman heard about Jesus. Well, maybe she didn't have anything else to lose. But you know what faith did? It didn't leave her over there. Faith kicked in. And she said, she believed this, folks. And you know why I know she believed it? This just ain't something she wrote somewhere or wanted to be known for. She said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I'd be made whole. You know how I know she believed that? Because she pressed through the crowd. There was a great crowd around Jesus going, and she presses. No doubt she was weak in her condition. No doubt it wasn't like a strong man pushing his way through. It wasn't like they respected her and was letting her through. She had to labor and toil. She had to push and do it. And do you know what that was? By faith. By faith, this woman.
Yeah.
Touched the hem of his garment.
That's right.
Years ago, my oldest son was a little boy, probably 5 or 6. It was always touching because if he got sick or needed anything, he'd always, Daddy, pray for me. And yeah, that touches a daddy. Well, Daddy, pray for me. Well, he was real sick one day. He's laying on the couch and flu or fever, whatever it was. He was fevered up and all this. And Daddy, pray for me. So I prayed. And I prayed the normal way we pray. I can't say that I felt a great inspiration of the prayer. I just prayed that we pray. We believe in prayer. I prayed for him. And a little bit, he said, pray for him again. He was feeling so bad, and I prayed for him again. He was asking me to pray for him, and so I prayed for him again. After I prayed for him the second time, I went through the house and went into the kitchen. It wasn't my son saying it. Now a different voice said, go pray for your son. Now, I want to tell you, when I went in there this time, I mean, I love my son. And I would pray and do all I could for my son.
But he couldn't inspire me to nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Pity? Yes. You know?
Yeah.
But that the word of God. Yes. God said, go pray for him. And that time when I turned around and went in there, I went in there coming boldly to the throne of grace.
Yes.
I went in there with some, I said in my heart, I know this time. God just told me to go in there and pray. I know this time. And I got down there. Third prayer wasn't like a verse two. That prayer meant something. When I got through praying, he felt better. And he got right on better right then. Went right on better because God said, go do it.
Yes.
By faith, I can say, by faith, God moved me to go from the kitchen in there to pray for my son. By faith, I heard it. I believed it.
Yeah.
I believed.
Yeah.
And it made me to respond. It made me to act. But Moses, he gave up a lot. For faith.
Yeah.
By faith, he was what he was. By faith, it moved him into all of those areas, and he did what he did. He done it by faith. And I'll go ahead and read some of it. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Listen, the Lord come and said, the death angel's coming. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to. But he's coming. We're all going to die.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
We're all going to be a judge. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Do you know if you really believe it, though? I say faith.
Yeah.
It'll prompt you.
Yes.
It's going to prompt you. That's what James is talking about. And Lord help all of us, because it's been said as a critique of Christianity. Now let me get this straight, they say. You believe that everybody's lost? Yes. They need Jesus. You believe everybody needs to be saved? Yes. You believe they're going to hell if they die without Jesus? Yes. You say Christians have the love of God? Yes. And why ain't you doing something? That's the critique. That's the critique. And faith says you're prompted to actions. What am I doing? What do I really believe? So, by faith, they said that the Lord said the death angel's coming, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt and Goshen is going to die unless the type. You're going to take the goat's blood, you're going to put it over the doorpost. I knew that. Do you know that I could have went around the land and told you who had faith and who didn't? Because the sign was on the doorpost.
Yes.
Every doorpost that had their blood over it, I can say, they believe. They believe because they took action.
Yes.
They had faith. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith. Now listen, by faith, think of this. By faith. The walls of Jericho come down. How did that happen? By faith. How did that happen? Remember? How it happened by faith? They went over there and Jericho walls was thick.
Yeah.
Big, thick walled city, and they was all in. And how are you going to do it? And the Lord told them. Said, you march around there one time, 6 days. On the seventh day, seven times. And when you get through, everybody be quiet. But when you come around and then you blow it, okay. Well, that must have been pretty silly.
Mm.
Right? I mean, oh, yeah. I can hear them hollering from the walls. Oh, you all real military geniuses down there. That ain't going to work. Faith moved them.
Yeah.
By faith. It wasn't military might that brought the walls of Jericho down.
Right.
Y'all remember somebody by the name of Paul Harvey? You older ones remember Paul Harvey?
Yes.
You remember what was that he had? The rest of the story.
Yes.
He told stories and those kind of things. And he told the story about them excavating the old ancient wall, Jericho.
Mm.
This is the way he told the story. He said that the archaeologists had seen that all the walls had fallen out. And it shouldn't have done it. Whatever force should have made all the walls, because it was a circle round, should have all fell in a direction. But all the walls fell outward of the city.
Yes.
And And he told the story and said, and they said, the archaeologists don't, said, we don't know what made them walls fall like that. And his end of the story was, but we know, don't we?
Right.
By faith.
Yes.
By faith, we do know. Yes. We believe those stories. And on it goes. They was very famous all through the... You know, there's a whole list in the 11th chapter. It goes on and on with Samson and different ones. And do you know why Samson's in this list? I mean, Samson had his things, didn't he? You know why he's in there? It's because at the end of it, he had faith in God.
Amen.
At the end of it, he knew he was going to die. He was going to give himself. And by faith, he knew. And by faith, he reacted. By faith, he felt those columns. By faith, he started pushing. Oh, God, give back the strength. It's anger. Oh, Lord. But that, you know, that's why he's there. It ain't anything got to do with your failures.
No.
Mankind's got failures. We've all got failures. That ain't the measure of it. You know, you can have faith anywhere. You can have faith that you can come boldly to the throne of grace and get help for your failures.
Yeah.
That's faith.
Amen.
You can get help for the things that you... By faith, God said, I would that you sin not, brethren, but if you do, you have an advocate, a go-between, a lawyer. You got somebody that's going to stand to God for you.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the righteous.
Amen.
You can go to Jesus with your failures. You know what that's called? Faith. When you realize that Jesus loves you and died for you and he died on the cross for you and your mistakes and your problems in life, it doesn't deter him and his love, then you can bring him to the Lord, and that's called faith. God will honor your faith to bring it and say, Lord, I made a big mistake and I believe in your blood. I believe you died for me. Have mercy on me. It prompts you. You know, faith can prompt you to say to your brother, brother, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry that I done that. Because I believe if I do, that there's going to be something greater
Amen.
Given to me. If I humble myself and say I made a mistake, brother, would you forgive me? You may not, but you can't keep a blessing off of me.
That's right.
By faith, he reward us to diligently seek him. There's others that wasn't mentioned, but I think of the three Hebrew children.
Right.
By faith, they were prompted to stand up to the mightiest man in the land.
Right.
The man that could throw them into the fiery furnace.
Yes.
And yet they said, we're not careful, O king. They was not being disrespectful to the king. They were simply putting God in his proper place.
Amen.
By faith, they put God above Nebuchadnezzar. By faith, they said, I'm willing to go to that. By faith, I know that my God can deliver me. And by faith, I know that if he doesn't deliver me from them flames, he's still got me for eternity.
Yeah.
Because that's my God.
Yes.
By faith, I can believe in everything that the Lord's doing, what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
They went down there and said, oh, king, we're not careful in answering you in this matter. Old Gebel's always willing to give you another chance. We'll play it one more time for you. So you can bow. You can play it 100 times. I ain't bowing. And we're not careful in answering it. We're not. Bow to your image.
Amen.
To God alone will we bow. But God turned that all around. By faith.
Yes.
Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth man
yes.
in the fire. He got to express that and say, from now on, all the kingdom will worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Amen.
By faith, they moved the nation. By faith, Daniel was able to ascend to the highest office. By faith, he was able to have God answer his prayer for dreams. By faith, he did all of these things, and he believed that God was the rewarder. You remember when the king comes and says to his astrologer, give me the answer to this dream I dreamed. And they said, well, tell us the dream. He said, well, that's just a catch. I want you to tell me what the dream was because I can't come up with it. You tell me the dream and then the interpretation because it's troubling me and I want you to do it. And that's what you paid for.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, you can't expect that out of us. Nobody could do that if you don't tell us what the dream is.
Right.
And he said rightfully, you're a bunch of frauds. You're a bunch of frauds. Now that where the rubber, yeah, I tell you that, you can say anything, but you tell me and I'll tell you whether it was the right dream or not.
Yeah.
So they go and they tell Daniel that, and Daniel simply says the same thing. Well, who could answer a dream like that? Who could do something like that? We can't. Just hope. Just give me a little time.
Yeah.
God knows what your dream is.
Amen.
Let me go talk to God by faith. Do you understand? By faith, it prompted him to go bow and fast and pray. And God was a rewarder.
Amen.
And gave him the dream. What an amazing thing that. You think the king had any doubt that Daniel had it right? What the meaning of that dream was? That was the dream.
Yes.
God had worked in his life. Over and over and over. Jesus spoke of faith, didn't he?
Yes.
To his disciples. He even on numbers of occasions said to them, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Why did you doubt that?
Yeah.
Why are you doubting these things? Why are you doing this? Because it was really hard for them to be able to put an action to their faith. To say, I believe you're God. Well, where are you running off to? What are you taking off to? Or why are you ducking your head? Or why do you think you're going to perish on this ship? Why are you doing that, O ye of little faith? I believe that when Peter walked on the water, if I'm not mistaken, when he saw Jesus on the water, and Jesus, they thought it was a spirit, and then Jesus said, fear not, it's I. And he said, Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come. And so he said, come.
Yeah.
Must have been some kind of powerful words. He gets out and is walking on the water. Do you know that was faith?
Yes.
Jesus said, come. And if Jesus said, come, I can walk on the water.
Yes.
But it just was an illustration that goes down through time. What happened?
Mm.
What happened? He got off of this and started seeing this.
Yes.
And this started coming in, and then doubt started coming. And he began to sink because he had the doubts off of it. And when Jesus got him, didn't he say, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt again? You walked this far. You saw me on the water. Why did you? Oh, the storm's too much. The things is too much. I think there is a measure of faith, folks. I think God works with us in faith. I really do. I don't think that we can expect that we're all giants of faith. I think God works with us in our faith. And tries to bring our faith, and he even said in one place to build up your most holy faith.
Yeah.
It's being faithful to God, being obedient. It's doing the things that the Lord wants you to do, but have faith in God, then it causes you to respond to things. It causes you to move. It causes you to believe in things. I believe this is going to work. I'm going to step out because I believe this.
Yeah.
I believe this. I believe God can save you. I believe God. Do you believe that God can deliver a drug addict, an alcoholic,
yes,
somebody that smokes and drinks? You believe God can deliver from sin?
Yes.
I believe He can.
Yes.
But sometimes we don't act like we believe He can. Sometimes it's a little short on that.
Lord bless.
And I know there's levels of faith because there was a passage of Scripture to where the disciples could not cast them out. And when they was wondered, why could we not cast this out? Why could we not perform this? Jesus said why. This comes not but by prayer and fasting. There is a limitation that you have, but you hang on. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. When you live to the Lord, there's a place of having faith. And all through the Scriptures, I can say, there was another one that I think was a little bit on the opposite side of that. But you remember old King Saul? And King Saul, the prophet comes to him and said, the Lord has seen this enemy, and he remembers what they did. When the children come into the land, now it's time reckoning day. And I want you to go and utterly destroy them.
Right.
Utterly. He defined it. Utterly. I want you to destroy it all.
Yeah.
And I've said this many times, you think about it, there must have been a measure of faith, because the king didn't say, "Prophet, we ain't got time for that." Or, "Nah, you're wrong. God don't want that. I ain't going to do that kind of stuff." No, he made a great effort.
Yeah.
Getting an army together was great. The logistics of it, I mean, getting it all together. He done all that. He went down and he comes back and the prophet comes. Remember the story?
Yes.
And he comes and the first thing, I don't think the prophet even said something before the king spoke up and said, "We done the will of God." You know you didn't do the will of God when you said it.
Right.
You know why he didn't do the will of God? Because he didn't have respect into the recompense of the reward. He did not look and say, "It is more favorable to us. There is more reward and a greater blessing and a better place to do the will of God." And instead of doing what Abel did, they brought back the people. They brought back the best.
Right.
You know, I can see that in my mind. He went down there and said, "That'd be a shame. You look at that ram. I ain't never seen a better one than that in Israel. Look at that thing. They got some good stock here. We'll take this best of them. We'll get it back and get that gene pulled in with our stuff." That's exactly what the Lord in type was not wanting you to do. He was not wanting you to mix what he had done with the world. And you're going to go and say something that's real good and it's entertaining and, "Boy, this will do us a lot of good." You're going to bring that in there. And he told him, you know what? That was a lack of faith right there.
Yeah.
Faith would have moved him to say no to the people and say, "No, God said to utterly destroy it. That'll be a curse to us."
Yeah.
"That'll be a curse to the nation. That'll be a curse to me. Destroy it all. For God can raise up better creatures than that. God can give us better than that. God can make our nation blessed. God can do much more than that." You want to know the truth by faith? What our country needs? No, you don't need no politicians.
No.
Need faith in God.
Yeah.
Faith in God is what we need to make a great nation.
Yeah.
Or any people. Well, we don't really preach to the nation. Well, we preach to us. But I'm going to tell you, that's where it starts. Lord, help my faith.
Yes.
And the measure of my faith is how much I give the Word of God in my life. And when the Lord has said to me, "I'll never leave you or forsake you,"
yes,
I can put a lot on that.
Amen.
God going to be with me, going to help me. I can put a lot on that. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's really obvious to narrow our faith down to say that it's trusting the Lord for our healing. I think that I see faith as a wide place in all of our life.
Yes.
There's a places in all of our life for the places of faith.
Yes.
To be able to say, there's somebody that believes in the Lord.
Yes.
There's somebody that stands for the Lord.
Amen.
And people can know it around us too. That person right there is solid and steady. Because of their faith in God.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that you're arrogant. It doesn't mean that you're harmful to people or that you can't get along with people or nothing. It just means you're the rock in the building. That's what it means. It means you're somebody that can't be moved off of that. And you can give an answer to why.
Yes.
Faith will give the answer. I have faith in God.
Yes.
I believe that the Lord wants to bless us. I think the Lord's going to be just as faithful to us down through the history of time. God's people have been put in the most peculiar situations.
Yes.
In the most terrible times.
Yes.
And God has been faithful.
Yes.
Let's put our trust in Him and have faith in God.